Mommy! Daddy! I found something!
A British family on a yacht cruise stumbled upon Site B.
And now it's only a matter of time before this lost world is found and pillaged.
Hopefully we've kept this island quarantined and contained, but I'm in shock about all this.
Wow. Isn't it great?
That's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
What the hell was that?
Go. As fast as you can.
I need you to send rescue immediately.
Taking dinosaurs off this island is the worst idea in history of bad ideas.
Let's get this movable feast underway.
Don't move!
What is it?
Mommy's very angry.
Hello. Welcome to Super Podcast number 54, I think. I'm Super Marcy, and I'm currently missing a co-host because he's on vacation. So I found a replacement. So yeah, I will introduce my replacement co-host as Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Marcy.
That was a bad Bead impression.
That was very good in terms of Bead. Sorry, Bead.
No.
I tried to do an impression of you, but...
Didn't work.
Yes, Bead.
Seeing as Bead is on vacation and he is unable to join us, I thought I would give Pat the nickname of a crazy Canadian so we could do a crazy Canadian bit in the podcast. So I hope you're ready for this, Pat. But I have to ask you, what makes you a crazy Canadian?
Because I'm part of the country that got Paul Giamatti his Golden Globe. That's crazy in and of itself.
Well, yes, the entire country got thanked for getting him a Golden Globe. So you are somehow responsible for him getting a Golden Globe.
Yes, even though I've never watched the watched what he was in. So
yeah, I don't even remember what movie it was, which is not.
It was
the
yeah.
It was that movie.
That movie.
Moving right along, we also have a guest who was just a last-minute addition because he came online and I said, yo, you're a guest on the show. So welcome back from the podcast that I can't remember its name of the right order of words. Just welcome back, Kupka.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi.
Thank you for that wonderful intro.
I know.
It's Reels, Racks, Records, and Rants.
Thank you, because I always get everything mixed up.
You know, if we put it in order that it would be the most difficult to pronounce and remember.
Yes. Racks, Reels, Records, and Rants. Is that right or wrong?
Reels, Racks, Records,
Reels, and Rants. Racks, Records, and Rants. Okay. I'm just calling it the Confusing Podcast.
Oh, we refer to it as the 4-Hour Podcast.
The 4-Hour Podcast. And, yeah, the last Super Podcast was the joint... Yes, I said joint. Podcast we did with yourself and Matches.
And we thank you again for doing so.
That was fun. Although I'm not sure Bede thinks the same thing.
Well, I'm not even going to go there.
Yes.
I'll be nice today.
Yes. Before we get started, I would like to quickly touch on something that's not exactly movie related. It's Australian related. My wonderful, beautiful, amazing country has had some really bad things happen to it recently. And I don't know, somehow, like, a lot of places have become flooded. So there's a lot of craziness going on, and there's people have died, people are missing, people don't have homes, they've lost absolutely everything because of the flooding. So I would just like anybody listening, just to be aware of that's going on. So there's that. And please donate money, because anybody can donate money to help everybody get this clean up and help people get new homes and things. So the best place to go to where there's like a lot of donation information, it's on the big news website, which is simply called news.com.au. And if you write /breaking news/flood relief, you can find out about, well, everything that's going on and how anybody can help. I would put a link on the podcast page just in case that link I just read out was completely wrong. So there's that. And now we'll get into the podcast. And our topic is movie sequels. I think movie sequels can either be a good thing or a bad thing, which I think we've learnt over the years as being movie fans. Correct? Or yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So before we actually got on the podcast, I actually asked people for their opinions on the best and worst sequels. So I might read some out. So on Twitter, I got some responses from people. Let me see. What's that dude with the beard on MFC? The guy that's...
Bat Luggage?
Yeah, that's the one. He sent me a tweet and just said the best sequel was Troll 2. However, Troll 2 is not exactly an actual official sequel to anything. It's a standalone movie, so I don't think that really counts.
We can on a technicality, but...
yeah. Considering it's not even about trolls, yeah, I don't know if it really qualifies.
Just don't say that to the director.
He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. So one of my friends who has actually, she's in the state where the flooding, the really bad flooding is happening. And she just told me that she's been helping people clean up the floods, but she saw my tweet and came and posted what she thought were the best sequels. And she is a huge, she's a massive Sylvester Stallone fan. So I knew that her response would be Sylvester Stallone related. So she said that she thought the best sequel was Rocky Balboa, which was the last Rocky movie, and that the worst was Rocky V. And that was from my friend Francis. I'm going to say her name. Rocky V is pretty awful. Yes.
Rocky V is definitely the worst of the movies.
Yeah.
And I just Rocky IV for some reason.
Rocky IV is the best.
It must be Dolph Lundgren.
Maybe it's Dolph Lundgren. Yeah, what about... I mean, Rocky Balboa was pretty good. I don't know. Would it be the best one? The best sequel?
No. I think, personally, I think 4 it is. Oh, but okay. I think that's because of the cheesy, you know, musical training montage. But it's fantastic.
It's another training montage.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Rocky IV. And I would say probably that... followed by Rocky II. It's kind of tough between, you know, having Mr. T in Rocky III and then, you know, having Rocky finally win it in Rocky II. So, you know, it's kind of a toss up there.
Yeah. And yeah, well, my friend also wrote back and said Titanic 2.
I don't know.
Electric Boogaloo. My mouse just disconnected.
There was a sequel to the Titanic?
Yeah, I think it was the Asylum Titanic 2.
No, nor did I want to be, for that matter.
Yeah,
it sounds hysterical.
I've actually heard it's really boring.
Oh, that's not
much
good.
Like the original.
I'll read out a few more. Another friend whose last name I can't pronounce, but his name is Sam, that's his first name, and he's not the Sam that's been on the podcast. He decided to say that the best sequels are Back to the Future 2 and Terminator 2. He couldn't decide on the worst one. So those are two pretty good sequels.
Well, you know what, I would say, you know, Terminator 2 is probably a good sequel, but it's dated. It really is dated. I mean, it doesn't hold up as well as it did years ago.
Well, neither does the Terminator, for that matter.
What's that?
I said neither does the Terminator, the original.
Well, no, but I mean, well, that again, in and of itself is dated, but I mean, it's just the whole, you know, you have Guns N' Roses, for one, doing the the song, even though it's an awesome song. But also the whole look of the film, having you know, it's a variety of things. Just that it's a good film. I have no problems with it. It's just that it's dated.
But do you think it surpasses the original?
In some ways, yeah. Probably because instead of Edward Furlong in the first film, you had Michael Biehn as your central male protagonist.
I did meet Michael Biehn. Just to say.
Yeah, so we know you met Michael Biehn, obviously.
Yes. I just like saying it.
Yeah, I know you well. I'm sure. Yeah.
Copco, do you have any opinion?
Terminator 2 is an amazing sequel, and it's interesting you say that how it's dated. I just had a similar experience over the weekend, and I haven't gotten to parts 2 or 3 yet, which most people dislike, but I still did enjoy. But that being The Matrix, it felt so 90s. And I was talking about this with my wife. And I'm not sure if it feels dated because it really is and it wasn't made to hold up through time, or is it due to the fact that we live in this culture now that everything needs to be spoofed or parodied or mimicked? And so when you go back to watch what once were these awesome films, you look at them and you just say, wow, that's really dated and cliche and not as good as I remember it.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Well, see, and that's funny, though, I mean, that you mentioned that, because, I mean, it's not... the original Matrix isn't that old in terms of... It's only, 10 years old, whereas Terminator 2 is almost 20 years old. But I mean, yeah, I understand completely about the datedness of it, because I do remember watching The Matrix in high school, oddly enough, in computer class, just for the fact that it was just this revolutionary bullet time effect that they had going on, and you can see it now, and it seems sort of crude
because it'd been done to death after the movie came out.
Well, that too. Whereas in Terminator 2, the groundbreaking CG effects, while they were really good, they were revolutionary for its time. You know, they do, for the most part, they do hold up, the ones that were used. Although, it all depends on also the thing is with high definition. Is that it's brought this whole sort of new level of clarity and color to it, and you can tell where, in some parts, that especially the CG effects don't hold up all that well, because they do look kind of CG for obvious reasons. But like I said, I mean, both Terminator 2 is, like I said, it's a good film, but it's dated.
Okay.
And as for the Matrix sequel, the less said about those, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
To each his own.
Yeah. I mean, we could go into a bit more later. I'll get to some other responses that I've had. So the actual Sam that has been on the podcast, 24 frames per second, and... he sent me a tweet. I thought he would have been well asleep by now, but he's put his best sequel as being Before Sunset, which was the...
Oh, God, yes.
What was the original? Before Sunrise. And his worst, and I don't know, I somehow just had a feeling he might have said this, but he put RoboCop 3 as the worst, and that kind of does suck.
I don't know that I've ever seen RoboCop 3.
RoboCop 2 kind of annoyed me. Because of how RoboCop looked. I mean, they still had, what's his name? I've gone blank on the actor that played
Robocop. Peter Weller.
Peter Weller. Yeah, they had him in the sequel, but he wasn't in the third one, and that kind of sucks as well.
That may have been why I never saw it.
You just say, no, he's not in it, bad luck. So I've got some more. I've got, like, a lot. I've had a lot of responses, so I'll just quickly go through them as well. Somebody who's...
Anything obscure on there?
There are some, but I can't remember. Or maybe this is, because I'm trying to think of what this movie is. Okay, so somebody called Nix Skits, whose Twitter name, I don't know if that's the right name, and I apologize if that's wrong. They've suggested the best as being A Shot in the Dark, 28 Weeks Later, The Godfather Part 2, and the worst as being Porky's 2, The Godfather 3, and they've included Attack of the Clones, but because that's a prequel, I'm not including it.
Hmm.
So, I have no idea what A Shot in the Dark is.
It's a Pink Panther film.
Oh, Pink Panther. Oh, okay. Now I know what it is.
To be honest, I haven't seen... I think I saw the original one when I was a kid, the original Pink Panther. That said, I haven't seen The Shot in the Dark, I don't think, so...
Hmm.
I can't really comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if... I've seen the Pink Panther movies, but I don't know. They were just kind of... I don't know. It's just that I can't remember them, aside from the first one, all that well.
So. I've actually never seen any of them, but do own all of them, sans the sequel to the Steve Martin one, because Amazon had a sweet special. It was like $30 for all the movies, all the cartoons, and some bonus discs. It was pretty ridiculous. I haven't gotten a chance to... watch them yet.
When you do, we can always get back to it. So I'll continue with some more responses and then we can get into our own sort of thing. So somebody called BS Tank 00, I'm apologizing if I'm getting this name wrong. He or she just wrote worst Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And to that I say, fuck no.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say, if anything, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is probably one of those love it or hate it sort of films. I personally thought it wasn't bad, especially compared to a lot of the other ones, like Freddy's Dead. If anything, Freddy's Dead is probably the worst sequel
in the
Nightmare on Elm Street series, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that Freddy's Dead has Freddy on a broomstick.
Yes, and cutting more one-liners that are more painful than funny.
Why can't I ever remember Freddy's Dead?
Because you don't want to remember it.
You guys have brought it up a lot recently, and I can't remember which one that one is.
It's the one where there's like a video game death in it, and Freddy's got a power glove. Like a Nintendo power glove.
Ah, yes, okay.
Yeah.
And when they're in the van.
Yeah.
He unfolds the map, and he gets like tangled up in it or whatever.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That one's pretty horrible.
Yeah, so there are some more suggestions. I did ask B, but B did not respond, so he does not get mentioned on the podcast. So a friend called Stephen, whose last name I cannot pronounce, he just put Terminator 2 again. And X-Men 3 as the worst. And X-Men 3 I really fucking hate, so I gotta agree with that for sure.
I can't say that I've seen X-Men 3.
You don't want to see
that. I wasn't a big fan of X-Men 2 for some reason. I don't know why.
What?
I know, it's kind of weird, because I mean,
it's like, weird. How can you watch Ghost Rider and not particularly like X-Men 3? X-Men 2.
Ghost Rider is not a sequel.
It doesn't matter. It's a shitty movie.
Hey, Pat, I just remembered something. I agree with you on this. Ghost Rider isn't as bad as everyone says it is.
Oh, shut up, both of you. It you. Sucks.
Thank you.
It You're sucks. Welcome.
It's, like I said, I can't comment on X-Men 3 because I haven't seen it. But X-Men 2, it was okay for me. I mean, you know.
Would it have been better if they went and continue to really follow that storyline and go on and made, if 3 was better, would you have enjoyed 2 more?
Yeah, probably. I would say so. Okay. Brian Singer probably should have stuck to writing that instead of going to direct Superman Returns.
Absolutely. I think that's what really screwed up both of those two movies is the little switcheroo there.
I've got some more from other people. So, so somebody, well, I can't say somebody, but you know what I mean. So Scott has written that the best sequel is The Empire Strikes Back, and that definitely gets a thumbs up from me because that movie is amazing.
I wouldn't say it's the best, but it's probably one of the best.
Yeah.
If you're going to throw in Empire Strikes Back, you got to contend with Aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like,
but as far as like Star Wars goes,
hands down the best.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's better than having like friggin' Ewoks and running around and having Empire get its ass kicked by those things and
Which was made fun of on Robot Chicken, deservedly so. And he's picked the worst as Smokey and the Bandit 3. I wasn't aware there was a 2 and a 3 of Smokey
there
and the
is.
Bandit.
I actually own the 3-pack contains 1,
really?
2, and 3. One and it was like $6.
Okay.
and it had Smokey and the Bandit in it. So, I mean, Smokey and the Bandit itself is worth like 30. But I've seen 1 and 2 do have Burt Reynolds in it. The third one does not. So I have not watched the third one. The first one is a great, great classic movie. The second one is okay.
The third one must be really, really awful.
Yeah, I don't even want to attempt it. It scares me.
Okay, so next person, Bob, whose last name I cannot pronounce. He's put the best as Aliens, which should make Pat happy, and the worst is Alien Resurrection, and Alien Resurrection is a piece of shit.
I mean, and I'm not the biggest fan of Joss Whedon. I know that a lot of people are going to be sharpening their knives and whatnot. It's like, well, what about Buffy and everything like that? Well, that's Buffy. You can keep that. But I mean, for him to write that script and then to actually attempt to try and create a movie out of that, no. And then, of course, I know Marcy likes Ron Perlman in that film, but I mean, him just being a monkey and then, being a dick for the most part, and then having Winona Ryder being clueless and me wanting to push her down the stairs the entire time, it really was not the quote-unquote return to the series, the franchise.
It killed it, really. It was a mess. It's excruciating to watch. I haven't watched it for a while, and I probably should, like, maybe just watch all the Alien movies again, but I'm definitely going to have a hard time trying to sit through and watch it and not want to, like, kill something.
I mean, the effects on that in the film were, pretty top notch for the most part, and it was gory. But I mean, it was just the story itself was just so ridiculous in how they actually brought Ripley back after she was definitively dead, and then somehow she's got her memories from what she did and everything like that. I mean, it was. And even then, it was like Ripley was an entirely different character from the Ripley from the previous film. Suffice to say that she's a clone or anything like that. But I mean, even still, it's not an Alien film to me that really is worth watching. The same could be said with Aliens vs. Predator, but
That movie was a mess as well. And breaking news, Bede has actually answered. he's given me his best sequels. So, yeah, I do now have to mention Bede. So he's said The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the King, The Dark Knight, The Godfather Part 2, and Aliens.
You can't really disagree with any of those.
Mm.
No, not really, no.
I haven't seen Return of the King, so I can't really say so.
I would say that with in regards to The Empire
Strikes Back. Return of the King is... Sorry, Return of the King is in the...
Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Why haven't I seen it, or why did he pick it?
Why haven't you seen it?
Well, the story goes is they released the Lord of the Rings movies on Boxing Day in Australia. And I went on Boxing Day to the first two. But then when it was the third one came out, I was really sick, so I didn't go to the movies. And then I just never ended up getting around to watching it. And I just, I don't know, I liked the movies, the other movies. I'd never read the books or anything. I'd read The Hobbit, but not The Lord of the Rings. And I just didn't have an amazing interest to go watch them. By the time the third one was around, and then I've just never gotten around to it, but I probably will at some stage. But I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about it, so it's just a matter of me being a really bad Australian and not watching it.
In some respects, you want to get in, you might want to get into the fact that some of these sequels actually improve upon and surpass the original in some respects.
Yeah.
I know Aliens is frequently described as that, and I have no qualms about saying that Aliens is better than Alien in some circles, but you could say the same thing about Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. We'll get into it soon. I'll keep reading these out because this is actually fun. It's like interactive with people. So Derek, I believe this is Derek from MFC because he mentioned this in the chat room earlier. Again, he said Aliens. Aliens is definitely very popular. And he put the worst as Speed 2. And I got to agree that Speed 2 is not only it's one of the worst movies ever, but it's definitely one of the worst sequels ever.
I do remember seeing the trailer for that in theater for some reason. And I just remember, Sandra Bullock's one line is, "Oh man!" Yeah. That was the only thing that I remember. It was just her saying, "Oh man!"
Who was the lead guy in Speed 2? I don't remember.
The guy from The Lost Boys. No one does. What's his name? The one that was in The Lost Boys.
The guy who played Michael?
Yes, Michael. Jason Patrick.
That was so bad.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh my god, that movie was horrible.
That movie should not even exist. I wonder
why Sandra Bullock decided to do it. But
money whatever. In her pocket.
Well, that, yeah.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight when trying to go to sleep because I'm remembering all of these horrible, horrible memories that I've blocked out of my brain for the past 15, 20 years. Awesome. Like Speed 2. Oh. Wow, that was a really good pick. I like that one.
Yeah, I was about to mention that Willem Dafoe was the bad guy in Speed 2.
Oh my god!
Really?
Whoa. Yes, really. Yes.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of Willem Dafoe,
yes.
What are your guys' thoughts on Boondock Saints 2?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it after the fact that it's just, you know, there's a, you know, a movie hasn't got much going for it when it's been probably close to 10 years since the original came out. You know, it happened with The Godfather 3, although that, Francis Ford Coppola was under, that's a different situation that he was in with regards to that. But yeah, the time between Boondock Saints and Boondock Saints 2, it's, you know, really not a good thing.
Yeah, well, Tron and Tron Legacy had 28 years apart, and I love Tron Legacy.
Yeah, but the thing is that no one remembers the original Tron, because it's a cult film, really. Because, I mean, Disney never really paid much attention to it until, you know, recently after the DVD re-release of the special edition, and that was a number of years ago.
Yeah, it's all out of print. But anyway, that's another discussion. I'll keep going. So my buddy Stu, I can't pronounce it, who's been very generous in swapping DVDs with me, he's named the best sequel as The Dark Knight and the worst another one for RoboCop 3. So that's interesting. Not really, because The Dark Knight's an awesome movie, and RoboCop 3 apparently really does suck.
Well, yeah. I'm surprised no one has mentioned Batman and Robin, his worst sequel.
I know, that actually hasn't come up. Some more suggestions have been another two votes here for Terminator 2, one for Flying High 2. Did that have a different title, though?
I've never even heard of that one.
Because I think that was called something else. I think Flying High is the Australian title. I think it was, what's it called? Airplane. That's the one.
So Airplane 2?
Yeah. I don't know. I watched it and I didn't think it was really that bad. But.
Yeah, it's definitely a big step down from the original, but I don't think I put it as one of the...
Yeah.
I don't think if we were only comparing those that only had a part two, probably. But no, I don't think.
I don't know. I still got stupid laughs out of it. We've also got another vote for a vote for Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Which sucks on us.
I haven't seen Spider-Man 3, but I've heard enough about it to avoid it. I think it was a case of just having too much going on in one movie to really.
Too much studio interference.
Yeah.
It just sucked balls. Yeah. It really did. I was in the MFC chat room. However, it kept crashing and I lost all the conversations, but I did manage to screen cap when everybody was in the chat room. So I'll give some shout outs to the MFCers who joined me for giving some discussions. So there was Derek, who I think sent me his choices on Facebook. King of Cinema, and I can't remember if he what he might have mentioned, but I did say that I'd be mentioning his name, so there we go.
King of Cinema's fellow Chicagoan.
Yeah, somebody called Laurie123. We've got Mrs. Data, however you want to pronounce that word, who did mention she fell asleep watching one of the Matrix sequels. And I can't blame her one bit.
They're pretty long.
Yeah, I've got Random King. And then I've got two Spider-Man related names with Wallcrawler and Webhead. And apparently everybody wanted to be called a duke or a king or well-endowed or something. So
what?
Really?
Yeah. Or Lord. With the MFC chat, I think it was pretty synonymous that, like, The Dark Knight and X-Men 2, Spider-Man 2 were, like, the better ones, with, like, Spider-Man 3, X-Men 3, The Matrix sequels being bad. Servo also gave me his opinions, but since I lost the chat, I can't remember what he did say, but I'm thinking maybe he said Godfather 2. If that's wrong, he can tell me. Unfortunately, I don't remember what he said. He did give me an obscure one, and I can't remember what it was. So, there's a lot of similar opinions, I think, but, you know, everybody has their own opinions, so.
And I just have, I have to throw for an obscure one. I would say that Tremors 2, Aftershocks. I remember seeing it as a kid and loving the original that I do. And this one wasn't as good for the obvious reason that Kevin Bacon wasn't involved. But as its own, I mean, you had Fred Ward in there. Or is it Burt Ward? Damn it. just having Fred Ward. What am I doing? Fred Ward in that film. It was a good film, I thought. You know, for a direct-to-video sequel. Even despite it not having Kevin Bacon on board.
Yeah, if you don't have Kevin Bacon, I'm not interested.
Ooh, well.
And I now have just got in Bede's worst, and he's put Superman 3, Mortal Kombat 2, Highlander 3, Urban Legends Final Cut, Ocean's 12, and Freddy's Dead.
I would say I'm kind of surprised that he didn't say Highlander 2 as the worst sequel, although depending on which version.
If you watch the original version with Zeist, it is fucking disgusting. It shits all over the original movie, even though it had the same director as the original, but he just had all this trouble with that film. But
yeah, I really don't. To this day, I'm surprised that the film was able to get made, given the amount of trouble that it had. But and then the subsequent versions that they've made, the alterations that they made have, you know, improved the film in some ways, but kind of, you know, made things worse in others. But as it stands, you know, you can only do so much with a film like that.
I've actually only seen the first one.
Yeah, that's the only one you need to see.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard from everyone.
I mean, Highlander, the original, is a perfect example of a movie that did not need a sequel. The story wraps up perfectly. There is nowhere to go. The story has been told. Yet, it was successful, so here we go, let's do a sequel. And let's do something that doesn't make any sense. Nothing in it remotely makes any kind of sense. It's stupid. And then it since has had further sequels. It's had a TV series. It's had a cartoon series. And none of it makes any sense. Okay.
But there's got to be... How big is that cult following for it then? For them to just keep cranking this shit out? Or do you think they just do it because somebody's got a bunch of money they want to spend?
Well, I don't know. It's pretty big. I mean, there are a lot of Highlander fans. But, I mean, I don't know. I think, like, Highlander Endgame, which followed off from the first few films and the TV series, I mean, it was okay, but there's different cuts of it. And depending on which cut you watch, like, some things make sense, other things don't make any sense, and then everything doesn't make sense. But it's still, I can watch it just for the fact that I like the actors that are in it, and there's sword fights on occasion, but it just doesn't really make any sense. Like, there's no need for any of it.
Okay.
I mean, Highlander is a movie that should never have worked, but it does. It works perfectly, and it's a great film. As Ricky Bobby said, it's the greatest movie of all time. It won the Oscar for the greatest movie ever. So yeah, now that I've read out everybody's opinions the last half an hour, I'll just randomly pick Kupka. Do you have a sequel to a movie that you absolutely love? And that the sequel absolutely just kills your soul in how shit it is.
Well, I have a plenty that I love. And I'm actually surprised that nobody has mentioned this one, being Evil Dead 2.
How could we miss that? Bruce Campbell was going to kick our ass.
It's a fucking classic.
Indeed.
Oh my God, it's fucking amazing. God, that may be bad, but then you have, like, Kill Bill 2. Fuck.
Yeah, but I'm asking about, like, not ones that are awesome. Yeah,
not just not part two, but sequels.
I'm asking about, like, an original movie that you love to death that has a sequel that is so bad that you would, like, seriously just murder the filmmakers for doing something so horrible.
Well, I'm going to say this one, and some people will argue with me that, well, you didn't see the whole thing, so you can't say that. But I'm going to go with the last Indiana Jones movie.
Yes. Yes.
I watched the first 2 minutes of it, and when I saw the general pull up to the gates and him kind of duck down in a Darth Maul pose and have bunch of people just, you know, shoot, stand like stormtroopers, I thought, okay, you've lost your fucking mind and blurred two different visions that you once had. You just, I'm not watching this pile of shit.
No, I tried to watch this movie, I fell asleep. I tried to watch it again, I fell asleep. I tried to watch it again, I fell asleep. And I tried to watch it again, and I fell asleep. But each time I watched it, I fell asleep in parts I'd already seen. So I have seen the movie, just in different parts. And it was, I am such a big fan of the Indiana Jones movies. And this one was just so shit, it nuked the fridge on my soul.
Oh, how did I know that was going to come up? Nuked the fridge.
Yeah, oh my God. There's something wrong with that movie. It's completely just blah.
Oh, I got another horrible one. Although, I have to go back and finish it because I swore to myself that I would one day finish those movies. And that being Mad Max 3.
As being shit.
Absolute shit. I got maybe 45 minutes into it. I fell asleep. And I haven't been able to go back to it. It was just the strangest sequel I've ever seen in terms of what the first two brought. It is just fucking bizarre. I don't know if I can go back and watch it. But that one was what I saw, just horrible. Horrible fucking movie.
Yeah, it's not a good movie. And I've just had another suggestion, which is from Facebook, from Travis, who said X-Men 2. And a movie that I can really agree with as being shit. Just shit in general. Doesn't necessarily even have to be a shit sequel. But New Moon, because we all know how much I love Twilight.
Yes, we all know how much everyone loves Twilight.
The sequels are so shit. I mean, the first movie is so shit, but the sequels are even worse.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
They still make money for some reason.
Yeah. What about you, Pat? Is there, like, a movie that you really love and the sequel has just destroyed your soul?
I wouldn't say necessarily destroyed my soul, but it's obviously pales in comparison to the original, and that would be Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters was probably one of the best movies of the 80s. And then along comes the sequel, which was kind of like, you know, it needed to be done, but in some ways it was like, this is what we got.
I apologize for the sounds.
It's okay. I wouldn't say it's a total disaster, but comparing it to the original, it doesn't come close.
So, would you say, like, you really don't want, like, a third one?
I would say, for closure purposes, I would want one, but, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get one, given that Bill Murray is being Bill Murray, and the fact that it's been so long. I mean, even the Ghostbusters video game has basically been the sort of unofficial third film as a conclusion, which isn't bad. I mean, it's sort of like, it's sort of met things halfway in terms of, you know, pleasing the fans, but also it kind of leaves, you know, you wanting the original, you know, the original cast to be doing it. But, I mean, you can't really do that because, I mean, for obvious reasons. And then Harold Ramis is, Mozart really let himself go. And then, of course, you know, Ernie Hudson, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, all those guys are, you
and
know,
by the way, Ernie old. Hudson has hugged Marcy.
You just had to stick that in there, didn't you?
I really did. I love him so much, and he hugged me. And it was the best hug ever, and I didn't see him hugging anybody else, so go me.
Yes, go you. Yes. But other than that, I can really think... I have to mention Batman and Robin again for the obvious reasons that it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to name as like a sequel to a movie that I love to death, Batman and Robin is pretty soul destroying. It almost killed Batman. Like it really almost killed Batman.
Well, it really just killed comic book movies.
It killed them for a while.
Blade came along for the sole purpose of the fact that it was just... I mean, Chris O'Donnell said in the documentary that went along with Batman and Robin, it was like an hour and a half long toy commercial because it was just so all over the place. And then, of course, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger
carrying
it out.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger making ice-related jokes because he was playing Mr. Freeze. Ice to see you!
And, of course, you have that credit card.
Bad credit card. Or, as I said in an earlier podcast, Batman and Robin is an insult to nipples.
Oh, yes.
It was...
And you have to think, it's like, whatever happened to Alicia Silverstone and Chris O'Donnell? I mean, you know, there's an obvious answer to that, but I mean, it's just, you know, what happened to them?
Well, I think Chris O'Donnell is only now really starting to get any kind of comeback because he's on a very successful TV show with NCIS Los Angeles. And I mean, before that, I mean, he really disappeared.
Like, who says that? But like, hey, let's get Chris O'Donnell to read for this part. Like, he was gone for forever.
A long, long time. Yeah.
Well, he did have that TV show on Fox that lasted all of two episodes before they pulled the plug on it.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared again. And yeah, so
well,
I think putting Alicia Silverstone.
He did have a guest spot on Two and a Half Men as a woman, so there is that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just opening up DVDs here. I apologize for the sound.
Oh, no problem.
You can edit it out. But I mean, and then Alicia Silverstone, I mean, she's done like Broadway or, you know, stuff like that, and ads for PETA and, you know, stuff that really, you know, is far away from, you know, what she was originally doing with, you know, movies. And then, well, Uma Thurman obviously went and did Kill Bill and all those films. Arnold Schwarzenegger did, you know,
Governating.
End of Days and Governator and everything like that.
Did I just say Governating?
You did,
yeah. George Clooney managed to have a career.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one, like, really, that did some, like, still had a really good film career. I mean, Uma Thurman at that time was making some really shit movies. Then she made Kill Bill, but then she keep going on to make shit movies.
My super ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, that basically Batman and Robin killed the comic book movie. The whole sort of genre in Hollywood until, you know, you get Blade coming along and actually sort of re-energizing it. And then along came X-Men, and then along came, Batman Begins, and it started up again.
Yeah, well, how about, I don't know if you guys have seen these movies, but I'm a massive Superman fan. I know that Kafka's not exactly the biggest Superman fan, but the first and second movies were amazing. And I'm talking about, I mean, the second movie on its own was good, but the Richard Donner cut was even better. But then,
that's what I was just about to say,
everything just went backwards with part three and part four. And that killed Superman.
Part four was horrible. I actually didn't mind three. I don't know. I find that a certain quirkiness about it that I actually enjoy. But
put it this way. I mean, having a comedian who's known for having, you know, R-rated, X-rated jokes, having him do a PG movie, it really doesn't work all that well.
You know, and maybe I never looked at it that way, and that's obviously what they were going for when that movie was released. But I never looked at it that way. I always looked at it as, Richard, because I guess when I saw the movie, I didn't realize, you know, what Richard Pryor was really known for. Only seeing him in things like The Toy and now Superman 3. But it's interesting you say that. It definitely makes me look at it a little bit differently. Mm.
I mean, this was before. Was this before Hear No Evil, See No Evil, or?
I'd have to IMDb it. I can't tell you off the top of my head.
I believe it was.
But that See No Evil, Hear No Evil, whatever it's called.
Because I think that was supposed to be his comeback from the Superman stuff.
Yeah, that was not a good movie.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that was his comeback. I do believe. But I mean, Superman 3 is just, you know, he really didn't seem, I don't want to say he seemed lost in that film, but it was just really not the type of role that you'd expect a comedian of that nature to be doing, that sort of work.
Mm.
It really just wasn't
good. Yeah, and they tried to fit too much into Superman 3 as well. Whereas I think Superman 4 suffered with just zero budget and...
It was just, the 90s.
You know, it was... I mean, there was potential for that to be a good movie, but it was just heartbreakingly awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the costumes, it looked, I think, it cheap. Suffered from the times. It really did.
Yeah, it looked cheap as well. Like, if you compare... Superman, the original, to Superman 4 with just the flying scenes alone. Like, Superman looked realistic, whereas Superman 4 just looked like a joke.
Well, and then you also have, like, a character like Nuclear Man. It's like, really? This is the protagonist that they come up with? Whatever happened to Lex Luthor, who is in the film, but he's just kind of there.
Yeah, and he's got John Cryer as his, like, annoying nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned Blade. Did you like the Blade sequels?
I liked Guillermo del Toro's take on Blade 2.
As did
because, for obvious reasons, is Guillermo del Toro. I didn't like Blade 3 for a number of reasons. One was the fact that it deviated from, you know, just having Wesley Snipes to having Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel taking center stage. And then, of course, you have, a guy like Triple H... Which
Triple H with the Pomeranians was disturbing.
Yes.
For many reasons.
Parker Posey as the head, it's just like, really? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I can watch it. Like, it's watchable. I think it was just, like, the weakest in the series.
Well, absolutely.
Bottom line, I think David Goyer is better as... screenwriter than a director.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah. See, I also heard that they were looking more to push the Night Stalker spinoff than they were really making a conclusive, you know, Blade movie.
Pretty much. Yeah, and that kind of fell flat. And then you had Blade the series, which kind of was for the
most part. Did you watch that?
I watched it, and it was like, you know, I thought it was, it had potential, but then you have them canceling it and having no conclusion, and so you're left.
But you enjoyed what you saw?
I thought it had potential, put it that way.
Okay.
I thought it had potential. It wasn't perfect, but I mean, it had room for improvement. But Spike TV just didn't give it a chance.
I agree with you.
So, I had another series in mind, like a series of movies that I was going to bring up, and now I can't remember what the hell it was. So, while I try and remember that, let's talk about Die Hard for a minute, because I love Die Hard.
I'm not talking about the last movie.
Yeah, but if we go to 2 and 3, do you think either of those were better than the original? Because, I mean, part 3 to me, and I've said this many times, it's horrible and I just don't consider it a Die Hard movie. I mean, that is a soul-destroying sequel. So we'll just talk about the original 3.
I don't think 3's that bad.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of difficult. Because how can you really top Alan Rickman in the first one?
As Hans Gruber.
But in the sequels, in Die Hard 3, we got Samuel L. Jackson. So, you know.
Yeah, I really absolutely love part 3. Like, part 2 and part 3, I mean, these were, in my opinion, great sequels to a fantastic movie. And they, like, as a trilogy, they're so good. They're so entertaining. Like, it's really good to see something that just has consecutively good sequels, apart from The Abomination that was part 4.
Brilliant. Yeah, I agree. I think they're all amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an example of something good aside from the last one.
Although, I will say that...
Sorry, I keep cutting you off, darling.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. But, I mean, the thing was with Live Free or Die Hard, the thing was is that the studio was being, you know, kowtowing to the dollar rather than, you know, staying true to this series and having the PG-13 rather than the R rating of the previous three films, which was kind of annoying, but
I think that had a really big part in killing that movie right off the bat.
Pretty much. I mean, you couldn't have John McClane saying yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. You just had him saying yippee-ki-yay and then cutting it. And it's just it just really didn't do it. But like I said, good thing with the DVD release, it kind of rectified that with the unrated cut. So
now, is it that much better? Because that's what I've heard, but I have a really hard time convincing myself that I need to rewatch it.
I gotta say, just adding like cuss words to a movie does not make it a better movie.
No, but I mean it stays a bit. It's because when you think it's more, I would say it's no, but I mean it's more. I say on principle that you know you don't want to cheat. You don't want to sell out. Well, I shouldn't say sell out, but you don't want to be, leaving the quote unquote diehard fans in order to make, you know, more money by trimming a few naughty words, you know, and it's just, there's something cheap about that. It's on principle, really. The film should have been an R rating rather than PG-13.
Which it kind of brings, like, just looking at that series, it brings me back to Indiana Jones series, having like three really good films in a series and then the final one just being complete shit. Although, and this is my opinion, other people might disagree, with Indiana Jones, the first movie being fantastic. The second movie was good, but it wasn't as great. But then the third movie I thought was like a really great, like a return to form to the greatness that the first one was. But I think out of those three, the second one is definitely like the weakest film. It's still a good movie. It's just not as good. It went into a very strange direction from the first mm-hmm. one. I don't know if you tend to agree or not, or if
I think it went darker.
It did
for sure, and I think it had to do the overall feel. I mean, right from the beginning with the Nazis. Two is probably my favorite out of all three of them. Believe it or not.
You just like seeing somebody's heart getting ripped out.
Actually, no, because the movie actually has my worst scene in any movie. The scene in any movie that I have problems sitting through, and that's when they're in the bug-infested fucking tunnel, creeps me the fuck out.
I used to always get grossed out at the dinner scene where they're, like, eating all this weird shit.
That never bothered me. It was when she had to put her hand in the hole. Oh, God.
She had to put her hand in a hole.
Yes. It was full of bugs. It was gross.
Yeah, that is kind of gross. I wouldn't want to be sticking your hand in that hole.
Getting chills just thinking about it. But where were we going with that conversation?
I don't know.
Indiana Jones. I don't know. I guess.
Did you like Short Round? Maybe they were trying
to. What's that?
Did you like Short Round?
I did.
I actually did too. Amazingly.
I mean, I didn't think he was annoying. I thought it was.
I didn't think so either. I mean, he's a little bit, but he's not as annoying as Kate Capshaw is. She's the real nuisance in that movie.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she really was nothing more than a screaming blonde.
And she I'm not only sure. here because she humping director. That was from Family Guy, but that is very true.
And then sort of as a segue in a weird sort of way with Temple of Doom getting the PG rating on ratings for some reason, and when it should have probably gotten the PG-13 rating, talking about Gremlins, which again should have had a PG-13 rating probably rather than the PG rating, but that is a case of its sequel, Gremlins 2. I liked Gremlins 2, but it was obviously trying to be sort of a parody of the original, but it wasn't as good as the original Gremlins.
It's still watchable, though.
Well, it's still watchable, yeah, it is. It's just that it pales in comparison to the to the first film, but again, that's a sort of case where even Joe Dante, the director of Gremlins and Gremlins 2, said that it was probably studio the whole sort of sitting on it for the longest time, and then finally getting around to making it, that it was a little too late, that it was just not, it wasn't the right time in that sense. But I mean, it's still a fun movie.
Yeah, so I was going to bring up, like, this is probably kind of obscure in a way, but one of my favorite sequels to a movie, and this sequel came a hell of a lot long, like, it came a really long time after the original, because as a kid I was obsessed with the Wizard of Oz movie, and it had a sequel called Return to Oz, which was made, I think, in the 80s, and that for me is a perfect example of continuing a series in a perfect way, and it is such a great movie. It's such a different tone, and it's so more darker and even mature in a way, and yeah, I just really loved that. I mean, that
I remember seeing Return to Oz. Sorry,
you don't. It had the Wheelers. Do you remember the Wheelers? They were really scary.
Yeah. That movie was like an acid trip for me. It was just
I do remember that movie.
Yeah.
It was kind of creepy. Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think that's it's an amazing movie. But let's talk about like a series of movies, like a franchise that started off really well, but then they've just disintegrated really badly. So, like, what comes to mind when you think of that, like that scenario? What, like, film series for you guys?
I would say probably, I keep on thinking of horror series.
Yeah, well, you are a horror guy. It's just,
well, for obvious reasons. Yes. But I mean, thinking of, like, I would say probably the Friday the 13th series. I mean, and I know that the people like that are all across the board are saying, who would say, you know, some of the sequels are better, some of the original's the best, all the sequels are crap, or, you know, it's all across the board. But I would say it's just like, it's sort of, after Jason Lives, which was part 6, the series sort of started to decline. For a lot of people, not for me, because I loved part 7, The New Blood, even though Paramount kind of butchered it, but that's another story. But I mean, and then of course you have Jason Takes Manhattan, which really didn't take place in Manhattan until like the very last 20 minutes. And it was, even then it was just all on the boat. But then of course after that you'd have Jason Goes to Hell, which is sort of a dirty little a guilty pleasure, so to speak, for me. And Jason X is like that as well.
That's a massively guilty pleasure type movie. I mean, it's Jason in space. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't. And I mean, it has Kane Hodder as Jason. Which is what a lot of people would have loved to have seen in Freddy versus Jason. But unfortunately we get Ken Kurtzinger, who, you know, he's still pretty good, but I mean, it was still, you know, even then that's a guilty pleasure as well. And then you get into the whole sort of reboot mode with the reboot that was in 2009. Which was disappointing in some respects, considering that Marcus Nispel was able to reboot the Texas Chainsaw Massacre so well, and then to basically do what he did with this one. But then again, you could say that about a lot of horror franchises. The Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, for example.
Yeah, that kind of went to the shit. That went to shit. Yeah. Well, I gotta say, one franchise that didn't disappoint me with any of the films, and I wasn't even on board this franchise until a few months ago, would be the Saw franchise, because I've actually really enjoyed every single film.
You and me both.
Yeah, I mean, everybody shits on part 5, but I didn't even think it was that bad. Like, I quite enjoyed part 5.
I enjoy them all. I think I think by the end of part 3, they realize that, okay, if we're going to continue doing this, it's going to be bad. And I think they made the films for themselves and didn't really care. They knew it was going to be cheese, but... You know, it worked for me. It is what it is, and I think it's a great series that just it's fun to just sit down and watch. It could, if it was one and done, I think it would get a lot more praise. But because they continued on, like a lot of things, they get worn out. Yeah. But I love them. I'm actually going to be sad when they really do stop making them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the last one was a really good end to the series, if they do choose to end it or not. But I don't know. For me, they've kind of stayed quite consistent. So that's for me, that's an example of a good franchise. I mean, other people would probably really heavily disagree, but you know what? I'm giving you the middle finger. So thank you. Yeah. So what else would you say kind of really disintegrated as far as movies go?
Well, I think we've already covered a lot of them. I mean,
yeah. Oh, well, Oh, sorry. I keep cutting you off.
You take a look at the RoboCop franchise, even though it wasn't much to begin with.
Yeah.
You take the Batman franchise that has seen a rebirth thanks to Christopher Nolan.
Awesome.
It's kind of...
what about Jurassic Park? Because I'm a massive Jurassic Park fan of the original movie. And I was basically holding my breath for a second one. And it came out, and at the time I kind of liked it, but then watching it again, because I was like, you know, a little bit older, there was just so much wrong, and Jurassic Park 3 was absolutely rotten. Like, I don't know how they could get something so right and then just continuously just get them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Did Michael Crichton...
No, I don't remember... I don't remember the two sequels all that well, but it was actually going into something I was looking to bring up maybe a little later, but whether or not a movie is written, because they're all based on Michael Crichton's books, correct? None of them were written strictly
I'm not
for the
sure
screen.
About the third one, but the second one definitely was, because I read both Jurassic Park and The Lost World, and they were great books. They were really great books.
Yeah,
but the film just changed so much from the book that it really shouldn't have, because
I
think it would have
been
so much
better.
And
that's what I was going to ask, was whether it was based more on the book like the first one, or was it, you know, did they Hollywoodize it?
No, they changed it so much. And I remember being, like, reading the book, I remember then being really angry, because the film could have just been so much better if they followed the book. Because the book was a really great read. It was really interesting. Like, Michael Crichton had some great ideas, just in general with what he does. But I don't know, maybe his stuff just doesn't tend to translate overly well sometimes.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because, I mean, because I was watching the original Jurassic Park a couple days ago.
I remember.
Yes, and I mentioned it on Twitter a couple of times. But, I mean, it was... For that, it was actually a very good film by itself, but it was kind of, and I know that it was sort of a breakthrough in terms of the use of CG, but I mean, it's kind of, what people don't realize is that it was only for a couple of scenes that it was CG, and the rest was all animatronics. But,
yeah.
And then The Lost World came along, and it's like, okay, everyone knows that CG, the whole CG trick, and it's like, we've got to do something else with it. And for the most part, it was a good movie. I prefer it over the original? No. But,
I think The Lost World really, I think, lost me. It was when they went into the city, and it was like Godzilla. But, I mean, even that sequence is better than the Ronald Emmerich Godzilla movie.
Well, the less said about that, the better.
Yeah, you said a bolt. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. But, I mean, Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, it wasn't a bad movie, as if Steven Spielberg makes a bad movie, but it was just not up to par with the original.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Whereas Jurassic Park 3 was just, like, why are they making this?
Yeah. Okay, this might seem really, like, weird that I'm bringing this up, but I was looking at a list, and I'm reminded of a certain film series of the 90s. And I remember I used to really love the original movie, but it had some pretty stinky sequels. And I'm talking about... the family movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which turned into Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, and then Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. Did you guys
I Blew Up the Baby.
Yeah. Did you guys ever actually like the original Honey, We Shrunk the Kids, or Honey, I Shrunk
saw
the Kids?
I saw the original in theaters, and I was about 7 or so, and I was... terrified of the scorpion scene and the scene
terrifying.
With the ants, just because of the fact that they used the whole stop motion, and I've never been comfortable with stop motion. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. I do remember that I enjoyed it. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid was just so annoyingly aggravating.
Yes.
But the fact that I just don't, part of the reason why is that I just don't like child actors all that much.
There we are know exceptions. That.
You don't like kids.
Yeah, I don't like kids in movies. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, I've mentioned this before, but Steven Spielberg has this odd fascination of having kids in his movies that serve no plot device other than to act helpless or to be this source of frustration for the other protagonists.
Can I ask you something that's not Steven Spielberg related quickly? Or do you just want to talk about how bad Dakota Fanning was first?
Yeah, as I was going to say, I wasn't going to mention Dakota Fanning, but since you mentioned her, yes, I was mentioning Dakota Fanning as being she was one. Annoying. And then having Ellie in the original Jurassic Park, who I swear Sam Neill should have just beat the living crap out of her for just screaming. I'm serious.
Don't diss Timmy. Timmy was cool.
I'm not dissing Timmy. Timmy was smart. He didn't scream, not like his sister.
No, she was Sam annoying.
And it was like that. But I mean, I'm kind of digressing. In fact, I can't remember what we were talking about.
I was gonna quickly ask you, which it is a sequel related, but did you find Newt annoying in Aliens? Because I kind of did.
On some levels, I did find her annoying, but in others, no, she kind of, I know she sort of served as the whole sort of stereotype of, you know, oh, the kid kind of, you know, we have to go rescue the kid, or the kid did something and they fell into the enemy or something like that. But I mean, no, I mean, she was, for the most part, she was, tolerable. James Cameron made her believable in that she just was like, you know, the last survivor of this colony that just got taken over by the xenomorphs. Whereas if it was Steven Spielberg, she'd probably be whining and crying and screaming all the time and getting herself into messes and having Sigourney Weaver go to an early grave along with Michael Biehn.
Anyway, this whole thing started off with Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. Was it Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, even?
That was an example
of shit. Oh, how about this for another? This is, I'm just laughing thinking about it. How's about Home Alone and Home Alone 2?
How did I know that that's what you were thinking?
Oh, by the way, for some reason, Terminal decided to comment on Facebook and say best is Blues Brothers 2000 and the worst is Terminator 2. But I somehow think he's not being serious.
Travis added in,
wait, the best is D2 The Mighty Ducks, which obviously is, again, not probably being serious. But anyway.
That's a pretty good sequel.
Well, I love the Mighty Duck movies for just being what they are. But how's about Home Alone? Because we can talk Mighty Ducks shortly. But Home Alone was like a favorite movie as a kid. I wanted burglars to come in my house so I could like throw paint cans at them.
Well, who didn't? That was awesome. Especially when you had like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern coming to your house. It was like, who wouldn't want to throw paint cans at them?
I mean, Bede loved Home Alone so much that he actually wants to be called Kevin. I mean, that's epic.
That is hysterical. And it took me a second on one of your recent podcasts when you did that. I was like, who the hell is Kevin? Oh, I get it.
Kevin McAllister. But did you, like, compare Home Alone to Home Alone 2? Did you think Home Alone 2 was really shit, or do you think it was kind of okay for what it was?
It was okay. I mean,
it was a bit silly, but I don't know. Yeah. I still can watch it on, like, a guilty pleasure level. But I think it was when they did, like, the direct-to-DVD sequels that the series just really lost it.
Pretty much. I mean, the sequel, Lost in New York, was basically a carbon copy, almost, of the original, save for, you know, slight changes. I mean, he still ends up still ends up facing Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, still ends up being abandoned at home. In this case, he goes to his Uncle Frank's renovated house. He still ends up doing all of these weird traps. He still ends up being saved by this supposedly shady outcast who turns out to be a very nice person. It's basically almost a carbon copy. He still gets yelled at by his family right at the end.
Kevin!
And then, of course, the less said about the Home Alone 3 and the subsequent sequels, the better.
Yeah, I think they just really lost the plot with those. But yeah,
what's his face?
I don't know. What's his face?
Macaulay Culkin?
No, not Macaulay Culkin. Oh, I'm thinking of
which
guy? I was thinking of the guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, the guy that was the dumb one on that show.
French Stewart. I was thinking of French Stewart. Yes. He doesn't appear into Home Alone 4, but it was just, just as bad.
That's
pretty
shit.
It's just,
I don't know. I think of these movies, I'm thinking of kids' movies. So what about those Mighty Ducks, eh?
I'll leave it to Cuphead to comment on it, and I'll comment because it's kind of a personal.
It's all any of those movies from around that time are. I guess I just hold them in a little bit better regard because of the time in my life at that moment. But like the Mighty Ducks trilogy, or there may be more by now, who knows? But same thing with like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, the sequels weren't great, but you enjoyed them.
Part 3, I didn't really think I liked as a kid. I mean, they went back in time.
Yeah, that one was eh.
That one was retarded.
But I mean, those types of movies, I mean, they just, they hold a little special place in my heart.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I liked the Mighty Ducks movies for what they were.
I would say that I did like the original, and I did like D2, but that was when I was just an ignorant young kid. Now I see it as this, like, okay, and I don't mean to offend or anything like that, but I mean, when you have the original Mighty Ducks team going to the under 18 World Hockey Championships and taking on Iceland, there's something missing there. One, Iceland as a credible threat doesn't make sense. Two, where is Canada and why
they
the crap out of the under 18 US team? And three, why aren't they facing Canada? Because everyone knows that Canada would still come out on top, and then Emilio Estevez would have to defect.
You bring up a very good point, a couple of very good points.
I would probably
agree with you 100%.
that actually never occurred to me when I was watching the Mighty Ducks 2.
Me neither.
And I really gotta give it up to you, Pat, for noticing such an amazing plot hole. Like, it really is, like, as if, like, Canada wouldn't just kick everybody's asses.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, is if they put Canada in there, they knew that they wouldn't be able to
They weren't really able to do it, so therefore it kind of doesn't make sense anyway. How did they beat Italy? I don't know. Italy, I don't know anything about their hockey team, but it's my origin country. And
put it this way, Italy, the Italian hockey team is basically consists of former Canadian hockey players that have moved to Italy and have basically tried to pass on the game to Italians, and it doesn't quite work. It was basically, now that you think of it, it was just basically a vehicle for Disney to help drum up interest for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks at that time.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Anaheim Ducks. But, and then,
Because that was the unveiling of the unveiling of the jersey was in the movie.
Mm.
Exactly.
Nobody knew what the pro team's jersey was going to be until that movie was gone.
And they even bring it up in the third movie that there's that team. Yeah.
Exactly.
But they're fun, stupid sports kids movies.
I know. It's just kind of I don't mean to go off on a rant again, but I mean in the novelization of my B2.
How do you know this?
I know, because I was well, I'm Canadian. It's like Hockey Canada, you know, it's like that. But I mean, in the novelization, it's like they had Wayne Gretzky in there, and he's like, he said something to the effect of, well, now that Canada is out of the tournament, which is
ridiculous.
Ridiculous, if not impossible. First of all, coming from Wayne Gretzky. Second of all, what he said that is like, now that Team Canada is out, I'm right behind Team USA. And I'm like, no, Wayne would not say that. And that is impossible. That is like, no. And when you're a kid, I didn't know better. And then now that I'm older, it's like, I've been a tool for Disney. And yeah. It's just, no.
I think I'm titling this podcast The Mighty Ducks 2, Angus Pat.
Yes, put it that way.
and for good reason.
Well, he has reasons, actually.
I agree with your sentiment 100%. If I were Canadian, I'd probably feel the same way.
I mean, it would be me saying, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks suck.
Well, right now they do, so...
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, yeah.
I guess it would be like as if you've got a movie about, say, AFL, which is an Australian-only sport, pretty much, Australian rules football, and it would be like having a world tournament of that sport and Australia, like, being kicked out of it where they should easily be able to win it.
Well, exactly.
That's how you're seeing it, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, this has turned into a very weird discussion, but were there any other, like, bits and pieces of movies that you guys wanted to bring up before we wrap it up?
I had a quick question for you guys. What is one movie that would almost make you consider stopping a fan of movie watching if they made a sequel to it?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I'm almost tempted to say The Thing, but, you know, they've already done that, and I don't know if I can... I pretty much am so against it, but I kind of think in my head that it's really going to suck, and if it doesn't, I'll be surprised, but I don't know. That was, like, one movie that I really didn't need to see a sequel for, because I just thought it was perfect.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because, I mean, the one thing that I think of is Silence of the Lambs, because I know a lot of people have said Hannibal is, you know, the sequel that didn't need to be made.
That's very true.
And I've mentioned this before, and I do like Hannibal.
There's nothing wrong with liking Hannibal.
What's that?
I said there's nothing wrong with liking the movie. I actually wasn't minding the movie so much up until brains and eating them were involved, and then I got grossed out.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I think was it Bede who was totally against it, or was it, I can't remember who it was. I think it was AJ probably who was saying something about it, about it being like totally off and that Hannibal sucked and everything. Hannibal was, I thought on its own, was good, but it was trying to live up to, you know, obviously Silence of the Lambs. You had Julianne Moore in there as Clarice Starling. You had Ridley Scott directing it, who, you know, going in, I'm pretty sure he knew that he was up against, you know, the wall with that, because he did do the best job that he could. I mean, it could be worse. He could have done Robin Hood.
Actually enjoyed Robin Hood, so you go to hell.
You die. You go to hell and you die. That movie just sucked.
I think it was just mismarketed.
It was, but I don't know. I kind of really love the story of Robin Hood, and I just felt like doing the origin story the way they did just kind of killed it for me.
You like the Kevin Costner version, don't you?
I don't mind that movie at all. And again, it's got Alan Rickman in it, and he rocks.
Why the spoon, brother?
Call off Christmas!
You mean it wasn't for the fact that, you did mention Kevin Costner, because I was saying, like, Kevin Costner, yeah. I can't remember where I was going with this.
I don't know. Okay, how about this? Because the original question was if there was a movie that had a sequel. Like, if it had a sequel, it would kill it or something. Isn't that what you just asked?
If what movie would they make? What movie, if they made a sequel to it, would make you question your movie fandom?
And
or
I,
if you would.
Yeah, and I said The Thing having a sequel, which is killing me. And then Pat started talking about Hannibal, but. Where was that going?
I was thinking I should really learn to stay on track. No, I would say probably Blade Runner.
Yeah, but what did Hannibal have to do with it? Were you trying to say that was a sequel that you could live with?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
More so than Red Dragon.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Oh yeah.
There's. Sorry. There's just some films that you don't want to touch in terms of sequels, and Blade Runner is probably one of them.
Sequel/reboot.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to propose, what about a film that if they made like a really good sequel to it, like you could accept that, like a standalone movie, if they were ever to do a sequel that would be bearable, let's say.
So that would be a tough one.
I'll give you one that's actually already made, and that would be The Hangover 2.
Yeah, I wasn't a massive fan of that.
The Hangover.
I wasn't a massive fan of The Hangover, so I don't really care about a sequel.
I think because I did. Now, did you see it after a lot of other people did?
Yep.
Yeah, so
I was expecting the funniest movie ever made, and I'm just sitting there occasionally. And then after an hour, I fell asleep, and then I woke up right at the end. And then I watched it again, and it was a bit better watching it again, but I didn't think it was the movie that it seemed to have been made out to be. But a sequel is understandable. I mean,
I don't think it needs one at all.
No.
I think it's going to just kill. It's going to take away from the first one, and it's going to be horrible.
It's now, definitely understandable from a marketing point, though, because it was so successful.
Right, but I don't think a successful movie warrants a necessary sequel.
Yeah, that's it.
Just leave them alone.
Academy?
Oh, man.
I don't want to touch that, actually.
I love Police Academy 4.
Except for Steve Guttenberg, but yeah.
I don't know. That's just a series of just... It's always like a horror franchise. Just do it, and, you know, they're enjoyable on some strange level.
Probably with amounts, you know, liberal amounts of alcohol, but yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
I kind of want a sequel to Reservoir Dogs. And it would be, you know, Reservoir Dogs 2, Electric Bugaloo. No, not really. That was a stupid joke. Is there something that you could, like, if there was a sequel, you think you would be able to give it a chance? Like, something you really liked?
I don't know. I mean,
it's
Evil Dead 4.
Hey?
Evil Dead 4.
Yeah, well, Evil Dead 4 was pretty much Drag Me to Hell was Evil Dead 4.
Pretty much.
I mean, the character could have been Bruce Ash. Campbell. Yeah, I mean, the main character could have been Ash.
With an eating sort of, but, yeah.
I didn't really, I mean, I actually, with like, for example, recently, obviously, there was the Australian movie The Loved Ones, and I kind of wouldn't mind a sequel to that. I would welcome a sequel to that if it had the same, like, writer-director and the same, like, I guess you can't really have the same actors in it, but at least, like, even have something like a prequel/sequel, I think that would work for me.
Yeah.
Because that's a really good... Like, there's potential. Sorry. I keep interrupting you, Lindsay, sorry.
Yeah, I know. I keep on trying to...
I'll give you a hug.
I'm the one who keeps on... No, I would say that probably one that I would love to see a sequel for, but it's probably... I don't know if they were ever, if it would ever get made, would be, well, I don't know if, would be Dog Soldiers 2. I know that there was talk of it.
However, considering The Descent had a sequel and everybody hated it, maybe, I don't know. Unless he was directly involved in a good way, maybe it would be okay.
Yeah. But I mean, even that, it's originally Dog Soldiers Fresh Meat was originally supposed to be made, but it's kind of entered into development hell.
Yeah.
All know what happens in development hell.
Yeah. Oh, how about that really bad sequel, An American Werewolf in Paris? Speaking of really shitty werewolf sequels or werewolf sequels.
I don't know. I mean, I actually saw An American Werewolf in Paris first, then saw An American Werewolf in London.
That would be a reason why you're a crazy Canadian.
Yeah. Well, this was when I was just getting into the genre and I didn't know better.
I'll forgive you for that. Although, I mean, that movie came out at the time when it was all like PG, well, it still is PG-13 type horror. Or PG or whatever the hell, but this was the real teen audience emergence of those movies.
Pretty much.
It kind of sucked. That one
in itself was, you know, I wouldn't want any sort of continuation to that.
No. Is there any last things that either of you want to mention about the sequel discussion? I'm sure we're missing so many, which is why we will have a sequel to this podcast.
That's clever.
I know. I'm so smart.
I just I wanted to bring up real quick two movies that we'll probably never see sequels to, but were set up for sequels. One being The Losers, and I actually would like to see one. I was probably one of the three people that enjoyed that movie.
I didn't particularly like that movie, but, you know, at the same time, I would welcome a sequel because there is room for improvement.
Absolutely. I think it was a really good kind of... I mean, it was definitely kind of bland, but it was enjoyable to me. That I think that, you know, a nice little origin where the next one they could go more balls out.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one being a movie that you've actually done a commentary on, Masters of the Universe.
Yes, we need a sequel, and it needs to be called Masters of the Universe Pink Cadillac.
Pretty much. Actually, there was originally talk of there being a sequel to Masters of the Universe, and then, yes, it was set up.
Right at the end of the credits.
Yeah, pretty much. But the whole deal with Mattel wanting more money or something like that, it kind of stalled it. And then, of course, actually, that reminds me of another movie that we would be possibly looking at doing a commentary for, Street Fighter.
Oh, well, that is definitely happening.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know. A sequel might have actually been worse, but I don't know if you could get much worse than Street Fighter.
Or Street Fighter 3, or The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh my god, that is worse. That is actually worse. That movie just is an abomination.
I stand corrected, yes, that is.
I mean, it's not really a sequel or a prequel, it's just a shit movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is back on Northern Silence, or Weird Silence. We're all picturing Van Damme in that movie.
That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of saying, what's my favorite line in that movie? I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass. so hard.
I was thinking from,
the next Bison
but,
wannabe
whatever.
Is going to feel it. Whatever. Yeah.
Another shitty trilogy that started out good is a From Dusk Till Dawn trilogy.
My God, I watched 5 minutes of the second one. I wanted to shoot myself in the head and then shoot the TV in the head and then just shoot everything in the head.
I own the entire trilogy.
Well, you kind of suck in a way.
It was missing two things. One, Quentin Tarantino, and two, Danny Trejo.
Yes.
Yeah, it needed the smarts of Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, it did.
Yes, and it just needed Danny Trejo for it being Danny Trejo.
I mean, there's so many, like, other series and sequels and stuff that we could discuss, but we were aiming for a shorter show, but with all my editing, it will actually be a shorter show. So that's probably a wrap for part one of the sequel discussion, because we will, I'm sure, have part two in the future. So I would like to thank my guest, Kopka, and my stand-in co-host, Pat, for doing the show and putting up with the craziness that is Super Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Put up with it. Yes, I'm sorry.
What were you saying? You can put up with me?
Yes, I can put up with the craziness, and I unfortunately cut off Kopka. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just, thanking Marcy again for having me.
Yes.
And you, seeing that you're her honorary co-host. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah. I can't replace the awesomeness that is, or the terribleness that is Bede.
Yeah.
So when he's back, he'll have to rail me out on when he comes back.
He'll just have to be like, I watched Hannah Montana and I liked it, and that'll just. Yeah, seal the deal with his terribleness.
Then your listeners will just drop off in droves.
I'm surprised there's still any other listeners when he dropped that Hannah Montana bombshell.
Why you gotta bring old shit up?
Yeah, I think it was so epic that it took you like 5 minutes to actually react to it. Was that you?
Yes, it was me. I was waiting because I wanted to make sure it was heard, because everyone was kind of taken aback at the awfulness that he had uttered.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a wrap from us. So hopefully you've enjoyed the sequel talk, and so until next time. Hey?
Well, I said we'll see you for the sequel, and I kind of spoke your song.
Yeah, we'll see you for the sequel, which will be better than the original. Yeah, that's always the promise. So until next time, I'm Marcy, that's Pat, that's Kopka, we're all pretty awesome. So, bye.
Of course!
I want a car. Chicks dig the car.
This is why Superman works alone.
A world at risk.
Batman will watch his beloved Gotham perish.
Just what I had in mind. Everything dead on Earth except us.
Yes. Girl of my dreams.
Come join me. Forget the geriatric bat.
A partnership.
Robin, no!
In crisis.
You were reckless, and you almost got killed by Freeze tonight. All you could think about was poison ivy.
How are we supposed to work together if you won't trust me?
A family in conflict.
And then I go after Freeze and Ivy alone.
She loves me and not you, and it's driving you crazy.
One kiss.
She wants to kill you, Dick. It's my rules to keep us alive, and you will abide by them.
You must learn to trust him, for that is the nature of family. Legacy in danger. But I shan't be here forever.
Alfred's not sick. He's dying.
I spent my entire life trying to get back to him. But I can't, can I? None of us can. When Venom needs vengeance. Justice cannot fight alone.
Suit me up, Uncle Alfred.
I'm asking you, friend, partner, brother.
Will you help me?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Clooney, Chris O'Donnell, Uma Thurman, Alicia Silverstone, a Joel Schumacher film. Strength now.
Partners?
Partners. Courage always.
Partners.
Family above all. Batman and Robin.